All right, ladies and gentlemen, we were running a little bit late this evening, 15 minutes behind, but we were supposed to start at 7:30. It's now 7:45. I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to tune in. And I'm going to go over a few things first. We're going to bring our guest on, and we'll do some discussion with him. But I have about five things we're trying to catch up on. Sorry, the wife and kids have been sick. I've been at home playing mom for the past two days. And fortunately, the group is a little neglected on that. But just a few things we're going to talk about. First one I have, a guy wrote in. I'm not going to say his name because I haven't got permission from him to say his name yet. And this is what he wrote to me. Dennis, I had a decent arrest the other night that I thought was worth sharing. I work in a small something county town without any highways, but was observing traffic last Sunday night when a car passed me and didn't look right. I couldn't see the occupants, didn't notice a reaction to my presence, but the car itself was out of place for my town. I jumped on it and made a motor vehicle stop after observing a few violations. I made contact with a 19-year-old female driver, an 18-year-old male, I'm sorry, female front seat passenger, and a 32-year-old male passenger who was sitting in the back seat. Two girls in the front, one guy in the back. Guess who came to the class and learned that one? Sorry, Chris. Sorry, I've been waiting anxiously on the toilet. Oh, dude, hold on. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Thanks for me looking good. I appreciate it. Thanks, bud. All right, so anyway, back to this. All three were abnormally nervous. The male, more so than the two females. Uncle Dennis immediately popped into my little cop head. First, I remembered one of the videos where you talked about a typical occupant combinations, and these totally fit the bill. I also remembered how you're always talking about passengers not wearing seatbelts and the male wasn't wearing his. None of the occupants had identification, so I thought it was going to be a hindering with warrant situation. Shockingly, they all gave me accurate information, and I discovered that the male had been arrested multiple times for distribution and had done 5 years in state prison on a gun charge. After that, it was pretty easy. I separated the driver, built my reasonable suspicion, and asked for consent. The male gave up crack and then that he had in his pocket right after I got him out of the car. Then I found more crack along with heroin and prescription pills during the search. I'm pretty sure that I would have cut them loose with a verbal warning if it was from your Facebook videos or if I had never taken your class. Just an example, your training is legit. Definitely not the arrest of the century, but a good grab for a suburban town that supposedly doesn't have any crime. Thanks for the help. Brother, my pleasure, man. I love getting emails like this. You guys are learning stuff. I'd like to read these things to you guys in the group so you know and other guys know what they're getting out of it. This is really good. Great job. I don't want to say your name. I have a picture associated with this. If he gives me permission, I'll put it up in the group. Okay. The next one here. Let's see. Guy writes in, he hasn't even been to the training course yet. Let me go back here. All right. So I've been watching your videos, started a couple months ago, fresh out of the academy, got my first arrest the other day. Driver went through the toll lane, odor of weed passing by, cracked headlight. Had to pull over, asked him about the weed, said there was nothing in the car, searched, found a couple of roaches, credit cards to other people, fraudulent payroll checks, brought him back to the station, had a baggie of weed hidden in his sock. I told him, good job. So it's really interesting and real rewarding for me to see that guys, just on watching these videos that we do, are really learning a lot. I'm going to try to get more people to come in. If you think you have value to bring to this group and you want to come in and do a video with me, my office is in Metuchen, shoot me an email at dennis@streetcoptraining.com and we'll get you in here. We'll set you up and we'll do something cool. Going to have a really cool little interview tonight with a guy. Really excited to have him here. He's eager to come on. And he's been really, really a good staple in helping me understand what the impact of having in training. All right. Now the questions. Let's see here. There's a big one. All right. Let me go to a small one. Guy writes in, don't want to say his name. He wants to know about, he said that some other people in his agency are knocking on the patrolman reading Miranda on motor vehicle stops. Guys, if you're doing motor vehicle stops, let me talk about this. And then I'm going to pull up the case law on it as well. If you're doing motor vehicle stops and you're finding things and you want to question the guy and you're finding things that make offenses arrestable, you're going to have a hard time if they elicit some incriminating statements. They're not going to stick. And I always tell people the same thing. What's the difference between a patrolman and a detective? Really, in New Jersey. Now, New York guys are watching, in other states, maybe it's promotion. In New Jersey, it's a transfer of assignments. Like, literally, what, you get a call from the chief today You're a patrolman at 9 o'clock in the morning. You're not allowed to read Miranda. And then you get a call from the chief at 10:30. You're detected by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They give you a gold shield. Now you could read Miranda. We're all police officers. You're allowed to read Miranda unless your cockamamie police department has come up with some reason. And it may be valid. They may have a valid reason. Maybe people are screwing up Miranda. I don't know how that's possible. That will prevent you from reading Miranda on a motor vehicle stop. I'm going to implore you to make sure that you read Miranda on a motor vehicle stop. And I'm just trying to pull up the case about reading Miranda on motor vehicle stops. Give me 1 second as I talk here. I had it up, but I closed it out by accident. Guys, I work on my laptop while you guys are watching me on the video so I can get the right information out to you. And then I copy and paste it into the group for you guys. So let me put that up. So Reed State versus Hickman, okay? Where it says, one, roadside questioning on a typical motor vehicle stop without the odor of marijuana doesn't require, it's not custody interrogation. Somebody's trying to argue that. That's one thing. Let's see. I've talked about these before. Let me go to the one I want to get to. Oh, let me go back to where I was. So it's State versus Lettman, all right? This is where the case that ruled, it's 1989, that said you can question people on motor vehicle stops on the side of the road after being read Miranda. Did it all the time, had a lot of cases with it. So, you know, guys, don't listen to these people. Like, God, this industry's loaded with morons. The problem is you have so many great guys in this industry. You got so many good top quality cops, and you got a handful of morons that want to use the moronic opinions and put them on everybody. Just find the facts. Let's not stick with opinions. Find the facts. All right. So State v. Lettman, I'll have to put that up after we're done. Let me go back to the rest of the questions. I'm going to close that one out. Oh, that's a long one. Brian C., if you know who you are, I'm going to answer yours tomorrow, dude. That's a long, long question. We have another guy who's getting some conflicting information from his court system. And what they're saying is that they're commingling Echol versus probable cause in a motor vehicle. So what his court is saying, which we believe as we work on figuring out who it is, that his prosecutor and his judge probably just misinformed. But what they're saying is when they're putting people in the back of the car, that they lost the PC to search the car. I'm not bringing this up because it's correct. I'm bringing this up because if anybody else experienced this, please let me know ASAP. And we can try to find out. There's no new case law. I haven't heard of anybody else having to deal with this. So if anybody's dealing with this, please let me know. Send me an email, dennis@streetcoptraining.com. If you guys want those stickers, can you grab me a sticker? Stickers, guys. We just send them to you. All right, just because like we like having these things out there. streetcopstickers@gmail.com. Just your address. And we'll send one out to you. No charge. Doesn't cost you anything. Let's see. Okay, this one came in today from Jim. I understand the concept of RES. However, trying to find a hard and fast definition is hard to come by. I've been doing this 20 years. And in the last 5, my interest has really turned towards interdiction. Great. A couple guys I work with define it off the record as 3 articulated behaviors. Observed 1 face-to-face when contact is made. I guess getting right to it, if someone refuses to consent, but they are dirty, what gives you RAS or RS? So I've talked about reasonable suspicion before. I'm going to talk about it again, especially for the guys. And this goes for everybody in the country, not just the guys in New Jersey. I guess you give me the thumbs up, buddy. I was getting to your question. I just didn't answer you because I want to do this tonight, a video. And remember, this is a typical traffic stop. You put your radar unit on, you're sitting 25 mile an hour zone, you're going to get them today. But if you're that guy, and you're going to pull people over for 16 over the speed limit at 25. I'm just waiting for the day somebody gets me 16 over the speed limit at 25. And they're like, hey, dude, tough guy. Yeah, the one always makes fun of us writing tickets. Yeah, let's see your license. I'm like, oh, shit, they got me. I got pulled over recently. I'm like, damn, the guy's going to get me. He must know. If this guy is a guy that hates me, he's gonna do me. But let's say you have your radar unit on. The thing beeps 41 and a 25. You got one on the hook. You pull it over. You walk up to the car. Nothing outrageous. Nothing sticks out. You're talking to the woman who's probably like in her mid-50s. She was going a little fast because she just came from church. And the priest, you know, maybe she saw the Lord and she's a little excited. So her foot hit on the gas a little bit. And, you know, you're a hard charger. You're going to give this church-going citizen a ticket. Get him. Strike him good. You're really affecting crime. But anyway, Sorry, I got to throw those shots in there. So you're gonna hammer this lady with a ticket. But you go to the car and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, officer, what was I doing? You're like, oh, ma'am, you're doing 41 and a 25. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was doing that. And then she hands you the thing and nothing seems weird. You're looking around the car. There's nothing weird in the car. She's got groceries. The kids are in the back on their iPad. And you walk back to the car, you're runner, nothing comes up. You're not seeing or smelling anything. You go back to the car. You may just ask her briefly, hey, where are you coming from today? Oh, I'm coming from church. And then we went to ShopRite or Duane Reade or wherever the frig you live. ShopRite's a grocery store for the guys. What is the other one? There's all sorts of different ones throughout the country. Stop and Shop. Wegmans. Whole Foods has got to be a big one, right? And you give her her stuff back. And then she just leaves. Did you have any suspicions that she was engaged in criminal activity? Did she catch your eye? Did you smell, see, or notice anything that would lead you to believe that maybe her story was incorrect or something was strange here? Did you notice anything? No, you didn't. Now, on the flip side, you're a criminal interdictor. You're sitting on the highway or whatever. You're traveling through the streets of town. And let's call it highway interdiction, because that's what I did. And cars are passing you, and it's a 50-mile-an-hour zone. And people are doing 55. Some people are doing 60. And you're watching cars for 20, 30 minutes, and nothing's really catching your eye. People are speeding a little bit. That's typical. You're going to see that 8 over the speed limit. Even get the guys doing 17 over the speed limit, but we're not there trying to get speeders. We're out there trying to fight crime. So, and then all of a sudden, a car comes down the road, and they're doing 48 and a 50, and maybe they're in the left lane, and they see you, and they jam the brakes down, buck the whole thing forward, okay? The whole nose dips. Then they switch lanes almost immediately. Once they left the brakes a little bit, into the middle lane, then off into the right lane. And when they pass you, they will not look at you. Maybe they're locked straight ahead. They're locked up, or they're talking to each other when they see you, or there's a big head snap, or they begin grooming, or they begin smoking as they pass you. As soon as they pass you, and like a few seconds pass, now they're lighting up cigarettes. This is where reasonable suspicion starts. It's at the point where a suspect vehicle spots a law enforcement officer and changes their reaction in driving behavior and their physiological and physical reactions inside the motor vehicle. That's where it all begins. You need to notice those things if you want to be a successful interdictor. So then what happens is they get off the highway. They're in the wrong area where they say they're going. You pull them over. Hey, what are you doing over here? Where are you headed to? Their stories don't mix. They seem extremely nervous. They got off the highway, but they're not going to where they say they were going. It doesn't make any sense because the things keep going down the road is where they got to go. Or they pull into a gas station. They tell you they're getting gas. They have a full tank of gas. So once you start beating up stories and things don't make sense, that's reasonable suspicion even more. It's below probable cause, because if we had probable cause, we could either make an arrest or search, right? So you have reasonable suspicion, which is below probable cause, to believe that something is going on in the car that is different from a normal motor vehicle stop where there is no criminal activity present. That's my best explanation for it. At that point, when you have all this stuff not making sense, all these reactions and all this whole beautiful thing they call the totality of the circumstances, that's when you're good for that. Call a canine, ask for consent to search. That's when that's that good time. That's for New Jersey. I believe in other states, you could probably, I don't know what the rules are going to be for when you can ask for consent to search. I think in most states, you don't even have to get reasonable suspicion. But even if you're an interdictor in another state, you want to build reasonable suspicion. You want to build your case. I've been to the interdiction conference. We all do it the same way. Don't think that New Jersey's any different. Oh, we live in New Jersey. We can't do. Guys, we have things they don't have, and they have things we don't have, and you just got to figure it out and make it work. Hypothetically, for the thing I asked before, like, is anybody having a problem with putting people in the back of cars and the court saying that their PC is diminishing? How would we fix that? You just would search the car before they were handcuffed. Like, everything's fixable. You know, it's kind of strange, but it's all fixable. So that's my explanation for you on that one. All right. Last question I'm going to answer. I'm going to bring our guest on. Question: stop a car for motor vehicle violations. Passenger is, and this is for my buddy Tony. I don't say last names. I don't want to be getting blown up. Stop a car for motor vehicle violations. Passenger is all good as far as the seatbelt and stuff. Ask for ID. He doesn't have any. Provides information not on file, like a fake name. Can you bring them down and fingerprint them under the circumstances as if he was the driver? You must have somebody subject to some kind of offense, whether it's Title 39 or 2C. That's why we talk about making the arrest for Title 39 or making the arrest for, if you have the odor of marijuana, you probably want to arrest them on that, 2C3510A4. Remember, the odor satisfies the in-presence requirement. You're not bringing people in, dude. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. If you don't have any violation on the guy, you can't bring him in for being a ball breaker or lying about his name. Remember, if you read the case, if you read the statute in New Jersey under hindering the apprehension of oneself, you have to be hindering yourself from something. You know, a cop wanting to know who you are is not something. It's not an offense. So my advice to you is this. You can't bring them in, Tony. Sorry, buddy. That's why it's just important to know your motor vehicle violations really well, like ashing out the window, not wearing a seatbelt, the odor of marijuana, providing the ability to arrest. And I always tell people, like, I'm not telling you to arrest everybody that smells like weed. I'm telling you to make sure that you use it when you have to use it. If you think you have somebody who's a hinderer and they're not giving you proper information. So that's those are the questions. I'm going to come back to the other big one tomorrow, guys. If you have any questions, write into me. You can message me or send me an email, dennis@streetcoptraining.com. I'm going to bring my buddy in, and he's been like nervous and fucking pacing back and forth over here the whole time. Fuck. Trying to figure out what he's going to do. So we became friends, Sissy and Pollock, everybody. I can't say his agency. Had a request for him. That's fine. He's sliding here. Yeah, Ian thought he's better looking than me at one
point. We've been closer.
Yeah, we have. So like Ian began following me. He actually called me, like, he was really cocky when he called me the first time. And then I shut his ass down real quick, and he realized he was dealing with the master. But he called me with a... he did, but...
Bullshit.
He called me his cock. Everybody who knows this guy. Yeah, there you go. Brent, how cocky is this bastard? Right? How cocky is this son of a bitch? He's really gotten... Once I started talking to him on the phone, we became friends, and he came to the training, and he just wanted to come on here. He's like, dude, I just want to come on and really explain... I just want to really explain like what the training has done for me. Again, this is not about me. It's really giving you guys value of what you get out of it. It's not me even trying to solicit. It's just that the program is just worth it. It's valuable. My goal is to give you more than what your agency paid for. I want to give you 10, 15, 20x return on the investment for the 2-day class. And I'll let Ian explain some things. Just so everybody knows, Ian has a very attractive girlfriend. But he still fails to bring some pictures here that we all want to see.
I got one. Too.
Yeah, see, Brent told you cocky. Cocky, go ahead.
I didn't say one word.
Dude, so like he brought some things that he wanted to talk about. And that's cool, man. We just want to do a video with him. So go ahead.
This training has honestly been one of the best things I've come across, whether it was just videos from Dennis or the actual in-class training. I noticed, you know, we always had that stigma of cops being dumb in school. And, you know, we are always failing, things like that. It's a lot because we're audio learners and things like of that nature. So, you know, throwing Dennis's video on a patrol car, driving around, everything sticks, or coming to class and throwing in funny YouTube videos in between, like everything sticks because we have short attention span. We're always on the move. We're always looking at stuff. And that's the way we grasp things. The only good police academy class you go to is one that you get to leave early on. So having a class like this where everything, you know, clicks and you can use every day, it's huge.
So like, dude, tell me about like before your police, like what did you do before you came? You even discovered me. Like what was your, let's go back to this. You became a cop. Why? Like what kind of cop did you want to be? Did you want to be a guy like, what kind of cop did you want to be?
So I initially was an intern at a pretty active city of Newburgh. I decided I wanted to be a real cop. So I applied down in Camden County where a bunch of really hardworking guys were. Worst hours, like toughest guys I know down there in Camden, and I want to be like them.
So you want to be like more like a like okay. So you're in patrol now. Before the information that I've been giving you, like what was patrol like for you? Like what was your daily things? Like what were you doing? What did you think the functions of a police officer was daily?
So I always was pretty proactive, and I'm coming across stuff, and I would have good gut instincts, but I wasn't targeting certain things. And I couldn't apply case law confidently. Like if you had a question for me, I'd be like, because, and they were like, because why? And sometimes I'd come up empty. You know, with this, I can, you know, put everything to action and put, you know, firm facts about everything. And, you know, everything clicks a lot easier.
What has the training done for you, dude?
Honestly, I know he's trying to get me to blow him here, but it's been awesome. I have a long list here of, you know, things that have came across for me. But even just little things that stop me from throwing things away, like all my cases. Like, for instance, I don't talk to people after I smell the odor of marijuana. that it's an arrestable offense. I'm going to go in there and search, or I'm going to Mirandize you. Old me would have been like, hey, so I smell a weed. Where is it? Tell me. Oh, it's here. And, you know, your utterance is not even good anymore because I'm already hammering. You know, the other day I had a consent search, and right before I went to go do a consent search, I noticed the female pastor's bag in there. The old me would have went in there and just tore the car apart, found what's in the girl's bag, and then charge her and be done with it. Now I know, hey, excuse me, ma'am, do you give me consent search for that? No, actually, I don't. No problem. Canine is on the way because, you know, we have to get consent for every single bag in there. I would not have done stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. So, dude, what was it like? Tell me, I mean, guys should know now. They have a general feel for what was the two-day training course like versus any other training you've taken before?
One of the best parts about two-day training is you could be any cop anywhere. I'm not making giant grabs, but things are clicking. You know, I went from getting an arrest, you know, once a month to I've had multiple times where it's car stop after car stop after car stop. I've gone three in a row for it, two in a row for it. And I work in a town where it was voted number one town to raise your family, to give you an idea. And like I said, it's not monster grabs, but things click, whether it's instinctual or subconsciously, because you're more confident, you're grabbing things. So it's for everybody. That's the important part. And even my sergeants that I've worked for said it changed me as a supervisor, and all the guys who want to go have to go.
So basically, the two-day course, again, this is not just me pumping up. It's because the product is there, and I want to urge guys to get in and see it. Obviously, you know, this is a company and it's a business, but really the product that is given in the two-day course for a good portion of people who come, it really has changed their lives, especially for those guys who literally want to know how to do more. For those guys who are finding that there's change in the way they're doing work and they're from watching just these videos alone. If you think that's good, like the impactful, and like things are going on for him now that like he never imagined in his agency because he came back just knowledgeable. It was just some, and a lot of guys call me like, oh, dude, I appreciate it. You know, it's because of you. It's not because of me. It's because you're that guy. You just need a little exposure to it. I need to show you just a few things. I build your foundation and then you can go from there. And some guys really come out and do some real, real fantastic things. What else do you want to add?
Just a few little things I come across. You know, it's great to have an awesome administration. You know, they back me with whatever I want to do. For instance, I got some kid because I smelled the odor of marijuana in his car outside of my town. I just happened to drive through. I grabbed his tag, ran it, came back to my town. I sat on him for like 2 hours, grabbed him up. He flipped on somebody, his dealer, who was coming into town the next day. So, you know, basically it was under the impression that I was going to pull over the car, smell the odor of weed, and then grab it. And that was that. But, you know, because of training and things like that, I'm like, oh, wait, we actually need a search warrant because now that's not spontaneous or unforeseeable. I know there's drugs in this car and it feels good to just be like, ah, hold on. Or my buddy Dan, he also took the course. He's, you know, he crushes it. And the other day he ended up getting Xanax in the gas cap of a car. And it felt good to say, oh, you got canine or consent for that? And he kind of looked at me like, I just did a pasture compartment search, but it smelled like marijuana. I'm like, oh, that's still outside your compartment. You need a canine or consent on that. And it feels good to just right away, you know, this is the answer for that.
Can I ask everybody a question since you're bringing up consent to search? I have so many people who are new, who have been on only a few years. And why is everybody afraid to ask for consent to search a motor vehicle? Do you guys know that for pretty much my whole career, I had to ask for consent to search a motor vehicle? Like, you know how many times I filled out forms, consent to search forms, and people are nervous about asking one time. Let me give you some advice on how to break that habit. Guys are like, well, I'm like, you know, guys call me, ask me questions, and girls too, if you're watching, know who you are. And I'm like, did you ask for consent to search? And they're like, no. And I'm like, why? Like, well, I've never asked before. I'm nervous. Like, here's, let me give you advice. Now, ready? Get a pen. Get ready to take some detailed notes on what you need to do to ask for consent to search. Ready? You have anything illegal in the car? No. Would you give me consent to search? Yes. Will you sign this form? Yes. Wow. That's difficult. If you ask, you shall receive. Honestly, if you're game and you're the way you speak and if you're smooth and you communicate well with people, I mean, I got to tell you, maybe out of every 100 cars, maybe one person denied consent. that's my communication levels were just so good. If you can make it clear to people on what your next pursuits are going to be or your next investigative steps are going to be, if they refuse consent to search, which is completely legal, you'll get more people signing consent, not coerced, but just because it made sense. So if you're having problem asking for consent, just try asking for consent to search. I know you're nervous. We're not in a job where it's meant to be that it's not a nerve-wracking job. But once you start asking these consent to search, I mean, we separate stacks of consent to search forms. You know, before the days we had the Peña Flores Cook ruling overruled and dissolved. So, guys, you still have to ask for consent to search. You cannot rely on the odor of marijuana to search cars. You got to know there's more in cars than just weed. Okay, good. Anything else you want to throw in there?
A few things that are always coming across my mind, but I had an older guy. He's got 12 years on. Very humble, awesome cop. But I got a text from him out of the blue. I'm in a group text with him and another guy who also happened to be at the training. I'm not sure if he ever knew this, but he goes, "Hey, like, I kind of want to ask if I can ride with you." And I was like, we were both like, what?
How many years on the job?
Five.
5 years.
The other guy was only on two. He's only on 2 years. And he was like, "I want to ride with you guys." And once again, he's an excellent cop, but he's still willing to put himself out there because he wants to learn stuff that he doesn't know. And, that's cool. Can't really beat that. And just like some tips we've come across that have really, taken some of our investigative things over the top. The other guys, of course, Dan, what we've been doing is even we'll get small CDS arrests, like under 50, right? But we want to get something out of it. They know that's not going anywhere. We start hanging 449.1 over people's heads for narcotics and motor vehicle loss of license for 2 years. You will get people to flip that way. Keep pushing that, and then that'll open up even more opportunities for you. Maybe you'll get to work with narcotics, which has happened to me. Another thing that's opened up because, just keep going at it and, you figure out how to do this job.
Let me iterate again. I guess that's a reiterate then. It really depends on your administration. Like, I worked at a place where for a lot of years, I wasn't rewarded for anything, but it's okay. I didn't want anything. Like, guys were like, "Oh, you're working in doing all this work. They don't give you anything." I said, "This guy a training." Like, I don't care. I just enjoy this so much. So I didn't get anything for that. Where he works at a place where it's being recognized and they're starting to see things. And that's good. And he's staying humble with it. And then there's guys who work at agencies where it's a good thing and they'll reward you. And then for those people who work in agencies where it's not rewarded and it's frowned upon, really, I know it's exciting to take my course and want to go out and do it. Be careful. Like, you need to be these people, your administration need to be on board. They need to have your back. Without that, you can't do this. You can, but if the time comes where you make a mistake, because it's going to happen, it's inevitable. If they don't have your back and they're gonna cut your dick off, it's the first boo-boo you make. And I don't mean boo-boo like you pulled the trigger and blew somebody's fucking brains out. I'm talking about you forgot to check a box on a consent to search form. And they're like, "Well, what the fuck is this?" You got to know that I was told at one point, "Hey, look, we got your back. Do the work. We understand that things happen. As long as they're not malicious and it was just a mistake, we got your back." Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the same thing that's going on there now, but at that time when I did work there, that's how it was for me for some time. We got a few people wrote in. River wrote in. River's always part of the group. What's up, buddy? How are you? "I was intimidated to request consent to search, so I took your class. The dash cam video that you show in class taught me exactly how." It's pretty simple. You just go through it. We'll go over that in the 2-day course. We can go over it tomorrow if you want or the following week. Matt Landesini writes in, "For most people, I don't think it's being scared more than being confident in what to do if somebody contests you." And it really just comes down to this. I can answer this pretty quickly. Sir, you can refuse consent to search. At this point, if you do, that's within your right. As a U.S. citizen, as a New Jersey citizen, being in the state, those are the rights afforded to you. If you're uncomfortable with signing this paper, that's fine. I'm going to implore you to not sign this paper if you don't know what you're signing. However, at this point now, I am going to call for a canine narcotics dog to come here. If the dog shows up and indicates on your motor vehicle, whether it's a passive or active indication, we are going to search car at that point. I have a dog, and people usually say, like, "Well, how long is that going to take?" Well, my dog's usually about 45 minutes out. And that's probably a general number for most people who don't have a dog in the department, 45 minutes to an hour. And then if somebody says to you, like, "Oh, okay, forget it, man, there's drugs in the car." It's not a coercive action. There's case law on it. I have it. It's not coercive. It's a prediction of the events that are to follow if you refuse consent. Obviously, you have to tell people and let them know what's going to happen next. Let's see. Algosa writes in, when is your next course in South Jersey? Al, I think we're going to be February 19th and 20th. We will be at Rowan College again, 2018, for the two-day course. The one day, most guys come to the one day and then they want to go to the 2 day after that. If you don't get into a one day, that's a good course to go to. Sit up straight, Ian, son of a bitch. Thanks, Kevin. This guy's fucking bomb.
He knows him.
Yeah. No kidding, dude. No fucking kidding that he knows you.
He's a dude. He slouches too.
How does this guy fucking
tap that? He was just mopping the bathroom the other day.
All right. Oh, shit. All right. What else do you want? Because we're going to close this thing up in a few minutes. What else do you want to touch on? Anything? He drove all the way down here today to get on camera with you guys.
He asked me 5 times.
This guy.
No, I'm just kidding. I did ask. Just be nice to people. The times of, you know, being a jerk, like, where are they? Where's the drugs? No, that doesn't work. I get out to the point of, hey, how's it going? This isn't a big deal. We're on the side of the road. When I'm pulling people out of the car, I'm saying, I'm talking to them. We're on the side of the road. Hey, there's a lot of traffic. Just want to talk to you out here. Dude, I'm Ian. All right. Steve, right? And people get so calm with you. Hey, man, you see how this looks? It just looks a little funny. I want to check out your car. Do you mind giving me consent, sir? All right, Ian. No problem. I'll give you a consent search. And just don't be a jerk.
You get more bees with honey. That reminds me of a story I had one time. And, you know, in my town at the time, I was probably pretty well known for being an aggressive guy, especially amongst, and what I mean by aggressive, I mean, I was out stopping cars, making arrests. And that was from bromance. Yeah, Jeff, he can, you know, he's got some talent, if you know what I mean. And he just came out from under the desk, which he didn't see. Yeah, hopefully get to a 2018 class. It's worth the time and money, dude. It just is. But back to the story. I don't want to say too many details because the people who were there will probably know it was them. We are somewhere and 5 people are screaming at one guy. Where are the drugs? Where is it? We're going to do this to your house. We're going to do that. And they're screaming and they're screaming and they're screaming. And the guy goes, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Now he's in cuffs. And I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, can I talk to you in here? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, I know who you are. I go, you do? He goes, yeah, I know who you are. He's like, we know everybody in this town knows you're a good dude. You're just out here doing a lot of work. He's like, yo, just tell him to stop searching. He's like, I don't want everybody screaming at me. I was the only person talking to him. And he said he remembered me from a previous encounter where he was on a motor vehicle stop, knew I was nice. What's crazy, he actually told me, he goes, dude, it was pouring rain. The car smelled like raw. And you're just like, dude, it was pouring. And he's like, you just were like, forget it. You guys get off this day. He's like, dude, we had a QP in the car that day, quarter pounds. There's a lesson learned. They had a quarter pound of weed in the car. It smelled like weed. I'm just like, it's raining too hard. So, but he recognized me from being polite on a stop. I mean, literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of motor vehicle stops. How many Tunnel Affairs complaints have I had on those? I mean, when I say thousands, I mean, it's got to be over 10. I can't even pose a guess at how many thousands of motor vehicle stops I've had. Geez, I can't. Maybe, I don't know, dude. Who knows how many there were? I think I've literally had 2 internal affairs complaints that were exonerated immediately, just people being assholes and nothing else. So out of that many consent searches, arrests, hundreds and hundreds of arrests, over 1,000, easy. Nobody ever complained. I was able to do it without having any concern. And that's funny. And that's really the key to it. You also have to know that you have to separate tickets from interdiction work. You can't do tickets and do interdiction work. If your chief or your agency wants you to do 2 tickets a day or a ticket a day, and that's what you have to do, go out, get 2 friggin' stupid tickets done, and then get into police work. Guys are always like, oh, man, you take it, you know, I'm on the traffic unit. I have to write 10 tickets a day. That's cool, man. I'm not saying this for everybody, but, you know, so that's, let's get funny. All right, Jeff. Ian does look breathtaking on camera. And then, you guys do each other's hair. You know, I'm just thinking
losing his hair. How could I do it?
Al, you're losing your hair? You know, Al goes.
No, you.
Oh, yeah, I'm losing my hair. It's nothing I can do. But Ian would never hold a candle to the way I lived as a single guy. He has 1 hot girlfriend. He thinks he's like the shit. I was a legend. I was a legend. This guy gets 1 hot girlfriend. He thinks he's hot shit. Gonna put pop jokes tonight. All right. Anyway, what do you want to say in closing? Dude, I'm going to get out of here before my wife kills me.
As much as I like to joke around and we're pretty good friends and all the cockiness and all that, I'm greatly humbled and appreciative for the training and, you know, and everybody's questions and everything like that, because it brings a lot out of it. And thank you.
All right, cool, man. Dude, like, again, it's not me that you should, you know, I'm just here to help get you guys exposed and get you on the right track. I build you the foundation, and then we'll get you, I mean, let it speak for itself. The content will always be coming out. I'll do it every day. We have more stuff planned for Street Cop Training. If you guys think you have something to bring into this, you're a good interdictional officer, whatever you want to talk about, you come in, let's do a video. We'll have a good time. You get a care package. Ian got a t-shirt, a challenge coin, a bracelet, stickers. Like, he went to the dentist. He's going to get a toothbrush and toothpaste and a little thing of dental floss. And great.
Courtney's on board.
My wife's going to watch this and she's going to fucking stab him for saying that. Anyway, I'll see you guys later. Hope you enjoyed this. Put a lot of value to everybody. Have a good night.